Praise God. Hope everybody's doing well. Hope you're blessed this week or realize how blessed you were this week. We thank God for allowing us to come through another week, to come here in order to grow in his word. Once again, I'm hoping this is ministering to you. This sermon hopefully answers a lot of questions, redirects any focuses that have been wrong, and helps us to really understand what life is about. Too many times we get caught up in our own interpretation of life instead of us recognizing why are we here. And when our interpretations are confused, then our walk will be confusing to others. It'll be ineffective, if you will. So I'm hoping as we go through the review in this part, we're going to now get the answer of life. So let us pray first. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, giving you the glory, the praise, and the honor, we thank you so much, dear Lord, for this opportunity to receive what your word has given us. We do ask for your forgiveness, dear God, for allowing ourselves to get in the way, our own desires, our own views. We want to make sure we're following you in every way, being led by your word and by your spirit at all times. As we start, we ask you to allow me to be an instrument used by presenting your word in a way that's honorable and reverent, but clear and understandable. Help us, dear Lord, to be a light to others in the world and encouraging to one each other in the body. So we hand this teaching over to you for your guidance, for your wisdom, for your answers, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we say, amen. So once again, as a review, let's see what we've covered so far. First of all, without favoritism, God created race, location, and time, and accepts all who fear him and do what is right. Now, understanding this and the key without favoritism should make us realize those who may have more, those who seem like they benefit more, are not. There is stuff expected from everybody with what they have. Those who get caught up in what they have as if maybe they're favored or they benefited, and those who may have less who feel as though, well, I got the short end of the stick, got it wrong, okay? Understand, yeah, these things happen, but all for the same purpose. And these two elements, fear him and do what is right. We'll talk about that more today. We also see we are to live our God-given lives as God commands with provided abilities. So I live to take his ruling, no matter where I'm at. I used one of the sessions, an example of a person going into the armed forces. They go to serve. They don't go there to go to Hawaii instead of going to Alaska. They are going to serve if they go to Hawaii or if they go to Alaska. What are they doing? Serving. So as Christians, we just take the life that has been dealt to us and say, okay, God, how do you want me to serve? Not, why did they get this life? How come this is happening to me? We have to make sure we understand there is that purpose. He gave us what we needed for the situations we are in for his purpose. Now, we are either going to be good and faithful or wicked and lazy. There is no middle. Do you get this? So you're going to be one or the other. And it speaks for itself. Good and faithful describe godliness. So either I'm going to do things fully based on God, and I'm going to do what God told me. I'm going to be responsible. He's going to say, Keith, do this. That's what I'm going to have done. Now, you have some people down here who have allowed other causes and things to come into their lives, and they think they're noble until God goes, but did I tell you to do that? Right? Think about it. There are some people who are doing what we call good deeds outside of God, and they don't realize you're being wicked and lazy. Why? Because God was like, I didn't ask you to do that. You're allowing your righteousness, which is worthless, to go beyond his righteousness, which is everything. So please understand, I look to him and do what he says and do it his way. And this is important for us to know, because it's going to be either or with what you have. Now, using Smyrna and Laodicea, we see why we need faith to see true success and true failure. Because in our own eyes, and we still do it, how we measure success based on sight is outcome, physical outcome. We would just praise Laodicean Church. We'd go there and everybody goes there and they'd be on their website and they'd be a mega church and they'd be booming and everybody would love them. While he says, you don't realize you're pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. In other words, you guys are doomed if you don't change, if you don't become godly. While the church of Smyrna would be the small church in the middle of the slums, surrounded by people that hate them and everything seems to be bad and they're in poverty and they have a lot of afflictions. And people, well, I'm not going to that church and let's pray for them that they can get out of that. Not realizing God is like, no. You guys are exactly what I need. Now, what I'm not saying, and what the word is not saying, of course, is that you have to be in a bad spot to serve him. It means if you are in what's called a bad spot, serve him. Do you get this? He even told Laodicea, there is a way you can serve me, but it has to be done my way. Stop doing it your way. When it comes down to it, life is meaningless. So when I live life based on life, I missed it. We're going to get the answers today. And we must live for eternity, not the temporary. I'm going to explain that today also. Also, we learned week before, lives have different experiences for the same purpose. He created you, once again, the different races, different places, all that stuff. But all of us are going to the same place. Just think of it this way. If he said, hey, everybody, the one place everybody's going to is California. But I'm going to put you in Pennsylvania. I'm going to put you in Texas. I'm going to put you in Europe. So all of us still have to get to California. We just going to have to take different ways. Some can drive. Some of you will be able to walk. Some have to take the bus. Some have to take a plane. Some have to take a boat. You see where I'm going with this? But you're all going for the same purpose. And that's what life is. It's getting to God. Not, why did they get? Why? Please understand, God takes everything into consideration. When I use it as an excuse, I'm only hurting me. We need to get to know God's will and do it. Two things. If you want to know, what am I supposed to do down there? First of all, get to know God's will. That's why you no longer conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will know his good and perfect will. You understand that? And when I stop conforming to what the world says and start doing what he says, I'll understand his will in every aspect. You'll see what he wants and stop trying to reason with God. There are too many of us intellectuals who question God. I know the Bible says this, but I know how to raise my kids. I know the Bible says this, but me and my spouse are much happier when we do this. I know the Bible says this, but we got to vote the right person in. And we'll say these crazy things, and they're crazy when we don't seek him. We all get this. We'll allow these worldly things to give too much or have too much strength. Worldly wealth comes with responsibility or else. Before, you're jealous or envious of those who have more. And it's not just talking about money, maybe more talent, more opportunities, whatever. Before, please understand, more is expected of them. So if you're one that has more and you're hoarding it, that's where the or else comes in. James 5 made it very clear, that's what's going to testify against you. So you had all of this, and what'd you do? I put it in the bank and it made more money. To do what? So you died a billionaire. What did that do to glorify me? Did you just sit there counting it? Did you sit there looking at it? And same thing with talent. We had, I gave you all of this, and what did you do? Well, if it ever came, I would use it. For what? And that's the key he's letting us know. There's a huge responsibility for the people that have more. A huge responsibility, and they're going to have to answer for it. And those who live, whose lives are challenging, you may have been born with a handicap, you may have been born poor, you may have been born in a bad area, must not allow their lives to be an excuse. And that's what tends to happen. Well, I didn't have what you had, so I can't serve God. No, that's not the case, right? I have to make sure I'm still living for him with what he gave me. In fact, that's going to be the strongest group out there. We'll talk about that. And to God, worldly importance, here's what I meant, worldly importance is meaningless. You have some CEOs and some people who have big names today that are going to be non-existent in heaven. In fact, most of them are going to go to hell. And I'm not saying it to be mean, but they invested their time for this temporary success. And we've seen that. He says, what does it mean if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? There are some that are extremely successful here. And that's it. They're going to spend an eternity in hell. That's why to God, worldly importance is meaningless. God sets who's important. He told us who those who are important are. And just like we showed, the ones who have the challenging lives, believe it or not, are more important than those who are rich. Christians should be able to see that. Why? Because we have less, and it really displays God. They have more, and they got to be careful not to hide God. Okay? So it's important. We are to live totally relying on Him. That speaks for itself. Totally. And the way He sees that is how you do with your money, how you do with your tithes and offerings, how you raise your kids, how you are in your relationships. Watch this. He's not going to measure you on if it works. He's going to measure you on what you did. Did y'all hear that? He's not going to measure you on if it works. He's going to measure you on what you did. In other words, so let's say I raised my child the way the Bible said. Didn't seem like it was working, so I changed and followed this other's book, and seemed like my child, and it seemed like my child was growing up well, and seems like my child was going in the right way. I get to God. Keith, what did you do? Well, this is how I raised him. Where did I tell you to do that? But God, it was working by sight. What did I tell you to do? By faith. Do y'all get this? Right? So many people are going to have this thing, and they think they're going to convince God like you do a board or like you do a group of people, instead of interjecting and saying, God, do y'all get this? Instead of you displaying, God, I did exactly what you told me. Child still ended up being bad, but I did. He's like, no, well done. I took it from there. Do y'all get this? Okay? In which we have to rely on Him. And absolutely nothing down here can be the purpose. Nothing. I told you, this political time allows both sides to create purposes and make us cling on to these purposes. Please don't be one of those who are caught up into these purposes and end up leaving the purpose. Everything must go through the only purpose, which is God. Do y'all get this? Please don't, because you have to, I know both parties, especially one of them in particular, think they're using God. I'm telling you, they are not. Neither of them are godly parties. Don't get caught up, because then you have to answer to God. He's not impressed with these little things here or there. Okay? So please stop doing it. I say it passionately because I'm very concerned and a little disturbed when I see people who are allowing these individual purposes to go against the purpose. Right now, the church is so split and messed up because of purpose instead of the purpose. Then last week, we saw only those who live God purpose are living in the right path. That's it. That one purpose. That's it. There are other things that may look, if you're walking by sight, like it's the right path. All right? But by faith, if you watch my life, and it could be totally dictated by the Bible, then I'm good. I'm on the right path. Any other look you see is dangerous. Characteristics of the right path are persistence in doing good, seeking glory, honor, and immortality. And the persistent part means you're going to see me do it, just like I used as a child, the child as an example. And even when it seems, everybody say seems, like it's not working, I keep doing it. That's persistence. Why? Because God said it. But Keith, it doesn't look like it's working. But my Father told me that's what I'm doing. Did y'all catch that? And my focus is on doing good. So I'm only doing what God said. Not, yeah, I used to do that, but it wasn't working. Persistence out the door there. You got that? And then I seek the godliness, glory, honor, and immortality. Those are the things, those are the values and the things that I'm focused on in my life. And all of those describe Christ. His glory, honor from Him, and eternal life. Did you get, y'all get that? His glory. I'm living to glorify Him, His glory, His honor. I only want Him to say, well done, my good and faithful. That's what I'm aiming for. And immortality, eternal life, not a happy, temporary life. But the people who are going the other way, the wrong path. They're self-seeking. And once again, when you hear that first, it sounds, ugh, sounds tough. Self-seeking, that's not me, right? Until you look at it and go, wait, that's me. Self-seeking means I play a part or I have a say in my life. You'll be one of those that'll say, I know the Bible says, but that's self-seeking, like it or not. I know the Bible says, but that means self now had an equal say to God. And then you'll do what the second part says, rejecting the truth. If I ever do opposite of what the Bible says, I rejected the truth. Even if a lot of what I do is what the Bible says, but there's certain parts I don't do, I give the but, that's the rejecting the truth. And then I follow evil. Good definition for evil, anything outside of what God says. Anything. Even when it looks good, even when it's noble to the world, it is against God, so it's evil. Now, though many things are necessary in life, only Christ is needed. Now, what does that mean? You do have to pay your bills. You do have to go to work. You do have to raise your family. And I go down the list of things you must do. Everybody must do these things, okay? The thing about it is, those things still can't be your excuse to trump what's needed. Does that make sense? In other words, you have some that will skip church and Bible study and studying because of work. Now, you're taking care of your family, amen, but they're skipping what's needed. So once again, they're investing in the temporary necessary. Now, what God is saying, a person will recognize, I need this, but I must do this. So I'll make sure the need is in place first. You'll see some, I remember a gentleman, that same thing happened. His job kind of expanded. He got a bigger thing. He was going to get a raise. He was going to get a promotion. But it was pulling him away from his family. It was pulling him away from God. And he went, I got to look for another job. He didn't tell them that. He started looking for another job. And when the bosses heard he was leaving, what do you want, more money? What do you want more? No, I need this time. But we're expanding. We're growing. We want you to be part of this. And he didn't say this out loud, but he said, no, I'm part of something that's much bigger than this. He said, I really appreciate you, what you guys did. And he went and got a job that he could still get what's needed and do what's necessary. Y'all see how that works? Don't let Satan let you use the necessary as your excuse to miss out on the needed. And no matter the life we received or the situations we are in, we must live obeying and being responsible to God. Okay? Remember, the life you receive, that could be your race, location, that can be the handicap, if you have it, the strength or the talent. It could be the positive or the negative, right? That you get that you had no say in. God says, still do what I say. Just do what I say. Yep, there's a reason why I did that. You may not get it now. Do it. And then he said, situation. That may be something you ended up in. The job you ended up in. The location you ended up in. Financial status you ended up in. Something that happened to you that may go away. He says, you know, if you can find your freedom, go ahead and do so. But he says, but you better live responsible to me. Joseph, why did I put you in jail? To live responsible to me. He did everything he was supposed to and was put in jail. And I know he's probably like, what is going on? To live responsible to me. Now, that doesn't mean when I do something stupid to put myself, like Joseph went and robbed somebody, or if he did mess with Pharaoh's wife and was thrown in jail, that would just be him adding an extra pain in his life unnecessarily. So if I spend my money wrong and I don't have money, that I did that. Don't blame that on God. And I still better be responsible to him. Do y'all get that? But I added that extra burden that didn't need to be in there. And we must be pure and humble to see things clear. Please do not use the worldly definition of pure, which is downright corrupt. Okay, the world's version of pure is so messed up because it allowed man, who is impure, to make the decision to pick other men as examples of pure. Wrong. Very, very wrong. Pure is 100% God. Nothing added, nothing taken away. I ask you why you did this, you'll go, because the Bible says. And it won't be anything added, nothing taken away. That's pure. They'll see everything fully based on the Bible. The Bible says it's bad. It's always bad. I'm going to show you somebody who's impure. Oh, man, that's bad. Oh, doesn't it happen to my kids? Well, Did y'all catch that? You know, there was the minister. He was one who preached the word, and he said, you know, homosexuality is wrong. And then his son came out and said, well, Dad, I'm gay, and I want to get married. And then all of a sudden it went, but I love my child. And when people go, but wait, the verses show us in the Bible. Yeah, but I love my child. Wait, that's not helping it. I know you love your child, but are you saying ignore God? Well, you must understand you got to love your kids. And all of a sudden it's like, wait, what just happened? Because he wasn't pure. And if you're not pure, you're in danger. That's why he says, if you love your mother or father more than me, you're not worthy of me. If you love your son or daughter than me, you're not worthy of me. Those excuses will not fly, is what he's saying. Don't use them because they're not going to exist. And then the humble part, humility is, I'm ready for you to tell me I'm wrong. I'm getting my pride out the way for you to go, Pastor, I think you were wrong. I want God to tell me I'm wrong in order for me to keep growing. See, some of us get firm. And if somebody told you you weren't a Christian, you'd be ready to fight. Instead of going, well, why do you say that? Humility will make you go, wait, so is there something that I'm not doing? I want to know. Humble allows you to receive it. But until you have the true purity and true humility, you won't see things clear. And this is why we have so many different factions in the church. Still only one truth. Make sense? And to be pure, the only thing you can do, you must first have heavenly things are your only value. Remember he says, where your treasures are, your heart will be. When I only treasure heavenly things. Now, going to that group that he called the rich. If the rich take their riches and invest in their riches and themselves, then their treasure is their riches. They're in trouble. They might be enjoying themselves, might be very comfortable. They are in trouble. Do you get this? Okay. And he said, make sure that your focus is on heavenly things. He explains how in 1 Timothy. He explains how in the Gospels. He explains how in James 5. And then this other part here, obey God's word. I know a lot of people that are students to the word, they'll come and they'll listen to the word, they'll hear me preach and things will go on, they'll say amen, then they'll go home. You're no different than the person that did absolutely nothing, if that's all you did. If you didn't come to church, you might as well slept in because you've still done nothing. You have people that are strong studiers of the word, still done nothing until you obey it. When you apply it, is when the purity starts happening. Only when you apply. God is not impressed with your study time. God is not even impressed when you go to church. But you got to go to church to get it in order for you to obey it. You got to study it to get it in order to obey it. Do you get it? That's why we have question and answer. Why do we have that? So you can ask questions to understand it so you can obey it. If I go, I don't get it, so I'm not doing it, it's no big deal. You still have to obey it. And you're probably like, well, I don't know how to obey it. Then why didn't you ask questions? Y'all get this? See, that comes on us. If this is my responsibility, I'm like, oh, Pastor, I got some questions. How much time do you got? Do y'all get this? But we allow other things to get in the way. And finally, what good is it if we completely successful now, but are headed to hell eternally? And he's letting us know many are going to be in that same boat. They're going to have this portfolio. They're going to have this book of all the stuff they've done. It's going to look great. Like I said, I don't know if the actor, Chadwick Boseman, was a Christian or not, but what if what he did, and I think right now, you know, in a worldly thing, the stuff he did was outstanding. But if he's not a Christian, meaningless. Totally meaningless. That means what he did in this little bit of time, eternity in hell. And don't get caught up in your self-righteousness. I can't believe in the God that does this. You don't know because you don't know righteousness. So how are you judging God? Amen? So here is the answer. This is the answer to life. And of course, it's not just one word. It's an understanding. It's a group of things. First of all, we have access to all we need to live the correct life. Everybody in here. He says in 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4, his divine power has. That means it's already given to us. You don't have to say, hey God, when am I going to get mine? No, you already have it. Has given us everything. So you have everything you need to do what? For life and godliness. So you can't say, I couldn't help it and I couldn't do it. That's why it says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, if I don't live with Christ as my strength, I'm already in trouble. I'm already fooling myself. Do you understand this? But when Christ is my strength, I have everything I need. But how do I know that? Through our knowledge of him. Now, what does that mean? Now, knowing him, I'm going to give you a good answer, even though there's a whole sermon on to give us understanding. But to know him is exactly what we said about obeying him. Remember, he says, if you love me, you'll do what I command. So here's the process. You come and you receive the word. You understand the word. You apply the word. Now, it doesn't end there, because as you keep doing that, you'll start realizing this relationship and this understanding of him. Do y'all get this? You'll start recognizing who you are in him and who he is in you as you do that process of receiving and applying. Do y'all get this? That's why it says the way I'll understand what I already have to do is going to be through my relationship with him. If you don't have relationship with him, you're going to try to do it yourself. My grandfather had a lot of tools, and when I would try to help him, I'd pick up the tool and go, what is this for? And some of them I tried to break because I didn't know how to use it, but I'm trying to be helpful. And so we go, put that down. But as I got to know it, oh, I know exactly what that tool is for now. Y'all see how that works? So in the same way, I had access to that tool, but it was worthless until I knew him. Y'all get this? Right? He told me, put it down. That's why you go and you put this time out. Like I said, I used to think we had to do stuff to encourage people to go to church. And he's like, no, if you have to do that, they're not trying to get to know me. When I find excuses not to go, when I find excuses not to study, that's me. That's the individual who's choosing the broad and the wide path. Do you understand that? And they're missing it. And they're making that choice. That's why my job is not to entice you to come. It is you going, Pastor, when we have church? Wait, what do you mean we're going to have church? I got to have this. Do y'all get this? Right? It has to be something you have to have. Look what he says. He says, who called us by his own glory and goodness. Okay? He didn't call us because of us. Please don't get puffed up and think, oh, I got to have Keith on my team. All of this was based on him. A bunch of worthless people. Based on him, he still called us. And it says, watch this. Through these, he has given us very great and precious promises so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature. So in other words, when I get to know him and I get access to those things I already have, I'm going to be able to live godly in a fleshly world. I'll be able to know when something spiritual happens and react in the right way. Watch this. Not only will I be able to live godly, I'll be able to escape, what does he say here? The corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Guess what? Guess what word really is not in the translation? Evil. It should say, and escape the corruption in the world caused by desires. Now, have you ever wondered, hey, I'm a Christian, but I'm still driven for what I want. Why is that? Have you ever wondered? And if you're wondering that, probably one of these that have not done this. If your desires still play a driving force in your walk, I'm not saying you have desires. Everybody's going to have desires, but when my desires still play a driving force in my walk, I have not done this. Did y'all get this? All right? Okay, and we're going to talk about how this works, okay? But you have not done this. Once again, praise God, if you're hearing this, you can change that. Choose not to, your choice, okay? So he has already provided us what we need to escape what desire has done, in order to live what he has willed, okay? We are to live always focusing on Jesus. And it shows us in Hebrews 12, 2, it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Why? Because he's the author and perfecter of our faith. Now, it's saying he wrote the book on faith, and then he came down here and showed us how it should be done. Now, look what it says he did. This is where it explains. It says, who for the joy set before him. So it's saying Jesus fixed his eyes on the Father, telling us to fix our eyes on our Lord. And watch what he said. He fixed, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross. So Jesus, using two terms that he used to kind of cover his whole life, it is written, he lived by it is written, and I do exactly what my Father tells me. Two very powerful things that kind of sums up Christ, right? If we did the same thing, it is written, and because the Lord says, you get, y'all get this? Then I'll endure the hard things we have to go through. I'll be able to go through them, not complaining in them, not living to go around them, not quitting because of them, but going through them effectively. Y'all catching this? Right? I will be able to be used by, he'll be able to use me in his way. That's why I said scorning his shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, I'll be able to live the life that he put me down here to live. Yes, it's going to be tough, but I don't have to worry about the toughness because I'm focused on him. Where we get messed up is we're focused on that promotion. We're focused on our happiness. We're focused on our comfort. We're focused on our struggle. We're focused on what we don't get when the other one does get it. We're focused on what we do have, and I don't want them to have it. We allow all this other stuff to get in the way of him using us. Do y'all get this? He did it. Jesus did it. He struggled. Lord, please pass this cup. Remember that? But he handled it that way. Not my will, but your will be done. Are y'all getting this? His focus was on, I'm here 100% for you. Now, I'm making my request like you asked me, but I don't want you to do it because of me. I want to make sure I'm staying within you. His focus and everything about it was correct. So we must stop succumbing to our flesh, amen, and deal with our flesh. Now, this is a process everybody here must be able to do. And remember I said earlier, you're not doing that knowledge of him. This kind of explains it. 1 Peter 4, 1 to 2 says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Now, I have below there, suffer in the body means we deny the flesh in order to obey the spirit. That's exactly what it means to suffer in the body. Okay, I know some people hope when you get saved, the desires will go away. That didn't happen. Not gonna happen. That's why he's saying spirit is willing, flesh is weak. He's letting you know, oh no, you're gonna go through this battle. This battle is going to exist. Just let you know ahead of time. So when he says the same attitude, what was the attitude Jesus had? It says, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. So when I keep telling my body no, eventually the body is going to have less of an effect. So in other words, even though the desire hasn't gone away, the effect has. Do y'all get this? That's what it's saying. Jesus still had the desire because he's still flesh, but it had little to no say. It went from, I want this, that's what I'm going to get, to, I want this, is it okay? Or it's not, all right? Do y'all catch that? And the body's going, why? Why can't I have it? Have you ever denied your body of something and in the beginning it's a struggle, right? You go through that struggle with it in the beginning and later on you're kind of used to it, but you still feel the hunger. It's just, you learn how to deal with it. That's what he's saying here. That process works that same way spiritually. It says, he who has suffered in the body, basically telling the body no, is done with sin. He said, as a result, watch this, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires. Take a guess. What word's not in there? Evil. Right? It should say, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for human desires. See, he gave us desires, but it was never to be the purpose. And some of you are thinking, why did he give us desires? It was supposed to be something that kind of points to what I would like to have, but my purpose is God. So how it was supposed to work was, God, I would like this. Can I have it? His answer is no. Got it. Do y'all get this? The desire of the fruit was not wrong. Do y'all get that? I'm saying that again. The desire for the fruit was not wrong. When the desire became the purpose, then we were wrong. And that's what a lot of us are living in here for. We have desires. Amen. God's like, okay, that's great. Now it becomes the purpose. But I want this, God. I don't want to be lonely. I don't want to have this. I want to have this promotion. I want to have this money. And then you start seeing you live based on that purpose instead of the purpose. Y'all see the problem? Y'all catch it? That's why it says, as a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. He'll always check. You'll always check. I will always check. Is this cool? I don't see that in the Bible. Why are we doing it? Well, it looks like it's working. I didn't ask what it looks like. I'm asking, what did he say? That's how the family would always function. Wait. So is this in line with God's word? Well, no, but it's working. I didn't ask what it looked like. What did he say? Amen? Okay? So we have that focus on stop giving in to what I want, and I'll be able to go with what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. Now, true life, if you want to understand, if you truly accepted Christ, it would have been us dying and Christ living in us. Now, the us dying, because before you got saved, you were living for you, for what you thought was good, for what you thought was right, didn't mean you would even do good for people. You understand that? Based on your definition of good, based on your line of good. You know what I mean? Until they got on your nerves, you would do good for them. You'd be there for them. You felt good about it for yourself. It was all about you. But when you accepted Christ, here's what happened. Galatians 2, 20 through 21. If you truly accepted Christ, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. Crucifixion is death. If anybody doesn't understand that. Okay. I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Do y'all catch that? So now, I no longer have a say at all. Y'all catch that? No, we're not partners. We are instruments. Y'all get this? It says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in this flesh here, I live by faith in the Son of God. Y'all catch that? So it's saying, now, my every step, my every decision, my everything I do is for Christ. We did the order of my step is trust. And hopefully everybody gets a chance to listen to it. And I'm giving it away. The biggest thing that it's telling us is we only trust one person, and that's God. Okay? Jesus Christ. That's it. Trust. Okay? And that means I don't trust my wife. I trust God to my wife. She doesn't trust me. She trusts God to me. In fact, I don't trust myself. I trust God to me. What does that mean? I check with God before I do anything. I check with God before I do anything for her or with her. That's how it's supposed to work. That's trust. That's how it's supposed to be. It's not based on, oh, well, I know she has a good mind and she thinks well. No. Where is it at in God? We had a time where we had to, there was a decision that was made, and she made, in my mind, a wise decision. But the path we took wasn't godly, right? It says, you must realize the head of every man is Christ, and the head of Christ is ahead of the woman is man. Now, there was a struggle because it was just a decision that was made. And I could have easily gone, well, she made the right decision. But the wise one was, Keith, you're not following the godly pattern. You're doing something based on outcome. What did I tell you need to realize? And I was like, oh. And I said, we probably would have done the exact same thing, but we got to go through it this way. She said, amen. Y'all get this? Right? Had nothing to do with, hey, it worked out and it's work. It's nothing about working out all the time. Okay? So we understood that I don't have this focus of here. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. That means I live to do what he tells me, despite how good it may look. Do you know what I mean? That like, and he says, who loved me and gave himself for me, I do not set aside the grace of God. Now, what does that mean, I do not set aside the grace of God? Well, here's a danger that when eternal security start being preached, people start going, oh, well, all this church stuff is for those people, not me. I'm a good person. So you stop living in grace. Now, what does it mean to live in grace? The whole New Testament, when it tells me what to do and what not to do, when I start stepping aside of that, when I start ignoring some of that, I'm laying aside grace. To truly accept Christ, I'm fully accepting everything Christ said. That's everything in his word. When I start going, hey, I know he said this, but for this situation, I don't have to do that because I'm such a righteous person. I'm setting aside grace. That's what that means when he says, for if righteousness could have been gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. So when I ignore anything in the Bible, I'm setting aside grace. Do y'all get this? I have no right. Even when I think, well, everything's working out, even though we don't do this part in the Bible, I took grace and said, oh, it wasn't needed, God, never mind. And he's going, but what you don't realize is you're pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Who told you to set aside grace? I never told you when times change, you won't have to do this anymore. I clearly told you in my word what you're supposed to do. He said, remember he was saying in many places, be sure this group will not go into the kingdom of heaven. Understand, this group will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And one by one, we're allowing these groups in as if God's going to go, yeah, you're right. And we're setting them up. We're setting our own selves up. Right? Think about this. Because we've taken the grace of God and looked at our own righteousness and gone, well, we're righteous. Y'all get this? That's why you got some politically religious people who really think they're that righteous, who think God's voting for a party and they're so righteous, they can take what the Bible says, set it aside, and start putting out some rules because I'm so righteous. And we foolishly follow them. Please be careful on that. And also, altogether, we are to live our lives revering God and doing what he says. Now, some may say, isn't that the same thing? Well, no, because some people do what he says without revering him. So that means I don't do exactly what he says. Do y'all get this? You know what I mean? Like the example I use with me and my wife, purposely say, well, Lisa has it figured out, so we're never going to talk about it and we'll just make decisions. We never did that purposely, but the reverence would make us go, oh, wait a minute, did we do that right? How many of you are stopping, looking at your entire life, and wait, I know we're doing it, but are we doing it right? Are you really fearfully checking your lives? He shows in Ecclesiastes 12, 13 through 14, and I used to label this the meaning of life. Now all has been heard. Because remember, we did this whole study on life. If you want to do another study that God put in the Bible, Ecclesiastes does an excellent job. And it ends basically with this. He says, now that you heard everything that I'm giving you, he said, here's the conclusion to the matter. Two things, fear God, keep his commandments. The Israelites tried to keep his commandments, but they didn't fear God. A lot of us here, trying to keep his commandments, but we don't fear God. How do you know that, Pastor? Because you'll see people doing things, and they'll go, I'm trying. Did he ask you to try, or did he command you to do? We just read, he gave you everything you need to do it, so why are you trying when you can do? Explain that to me, right? If I go to him and say, well, God, I tried. Well, wait, tried? I'm your strength. Why didn't you just do? I just blew all the excuses out the water, didn't I? Amen. And I didn't do it because he did it for me too. Every time I went to, but I was trying. He's like, oh, wait a minute. So if you're trying, remember he makes all those things happen to us so we stop relying on ourselves and we start living for him. If I just did what he said completely, I did it. Stop adding all these other things. Fear God and keep his commandments. He says, for this is the whole duty of man. In fact, the reason why duty is in brackets, because translation, the word duty doesn't exist. And it's saying, for this is the whole of man. This is what makes man, man. He's saying, for God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Now somebody said, well, Pastor, didn't he say, once we get saved and we repent, all of our past will go away as if it was never there? Absolutely. Problem is, most have not repented. You said sorry, There's no change. There's no turning away from. Your life has changed a bit. So you didn't repent. So it's still there. Yes, you'll have to answer for it. That's what repentance is. Repentance isn't just going, I'm sorry. I said I'm sorry. No, it'll be, not only am I sorry, you're going to see me going out of my way that this will never happen again. And you'll see it in my life. It's a turning away from. So it includes the apology, and then it shows the action of turning away from it. Y'all catch that? That's repentance. Most just say sorry, if that. Amen? So it's not true repentance. So he's saying, I'm going to bring all of this, and you're going to have to answer to God. And if your answer is not because your word says, you're in trouble. I'm telling all of you that are putting this whole thing together, well, God, let me show you what happened. It might fool man, God cannot be mocked. Y'all get that? So the only thing that you'll have that will work is, but God, your word said. That's it. Got it? That's the meaning. That's the study and the showing of life. Everything we do must be to display God. Now, watch what this is here. Because I heard a minister say something that I think is, it was how he's preaching, it could be misinterpreted. It says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, it says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Now, the minister got really mad and said, we can't glorify God. He doesn't need our glory from him. And so it doesn't mean that, it means for us to get into his glory. Sounds good until you read the rest of the Bible. No, it's telling us to glorify God. Let me explain what glorify God means. So how many of you wear glasses? I do too. Okay, yeah. So we wear glasses. Does the glasses change the writing in the book? Absolutely not. It changes how I see the writing in the book. So we are not doing anything to God. That's why I'm saying when we magnify him, all we're doing is changing how people see God. Because right now they're seeing him incorrectly. So when he says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, so he said, I'm covering everything. Everything you do needs to show me. So if I'm still out there complaining like the rest of them, living like the rest of the world, acting like the rest of the world, dealing with bad stuff like the rest of the world, dealing with desirable stuff like the rest of the world, how am I displaying him? Me and a friend of mine were talking. I remember when we were younger, they used to wear these glasses called gazelles. I know Sean remembers them. But if anybody remembers them, what was it about the gazelles? They had no what? They had no glass. They had nothing. Some of them had no glass. Some of them had no prescription. You just wore them for the frames. Some would go, what? Yes. They did nothing. You get where I'm coming? They were worth it. Well, they were thousands of dollars, but they were worthless. You get where I'm coming from? So we have to display him. We need to be a corrective lens. Why did he put us in different spots? To be a corrective lens for the people in those spots. So if I'm in the hood, I got to be a corrective lens for the people in the hood. If it's in Bel Air, I got to be a corrective lens for those who are in Bel Air. Y'all see where I'm going with this? That's why he put me there, right? So when they see me, they see God correctly. Everybody get that? All right? So that's why he's saying do it all to display him correctly. That's what glorify, to magnify him. I want them, when they see me and my wife, they're seeing us display God. When they see me with my kids, they're seeing me display God. Not, oh, that's such a great family. Oh, you're a great couple. I don't want to hear that. I want them to see God. We'll see how that works. We must not become a part of this world. Instead, live representing where we are from. Okay? This is another one of those things where maybe that whole patriotism thing may not be as holy as you think it is. This is one of those things where we've been deceived, and there are some living against him. 1 Peter 1, 17 through 19 says, since you call on a father who judges each man's work impartially, so he's talking about each individual, watch what he says. This is a command. Live your lives as what? Strangers here in reverent fear. First thing, strangers. He is not going to come to the people that are loyal to where they're at. Think about that. He's not coming to us, and you're not going to get credit to being loyal to here. I'm a stranger here, loyal to him. Did y'all catch that? All right. I know sometimes when we say the word patriotic, it makes some people feel good. It's not always biblical, because it makes me then reverent to here, right? Instead of loyal to him. The stranger that's here will look at the people living wrong, and you'll see me living right, despite where I'm at. Amen? My allegiance is not to a flag or to a country. It has to be to Christ. So I'm ready to say no the minute you go against Christ. Not what's for my country. Y'all see how that works? There are a lot of people who are getting rid of the godly in order for the country. And severely think God is going to go, man, that was just an honorable person. What y'all don't understand is when you're standing making that statement, and when we hold it, that's exactly what the Nazis were doing. So I guess they're okay, right? They were just following the orders. They were loyal to their country. What's the problem? Only problem is we got to see that clearly. But if the one Nazi went, this is wrong. No, it's everything against God. What the heck are we doing? Yeah, he probably would have died. But he would have been a stranger. I'm not putting on that suit. I'm not doing that to these people. I'm not responding this way because the Bible says. Y'all catch that? If we would do that today, no, I'm not following that. No, I'm not saying that. No, I'm not doing that because the Bible says. So as strangers in reverent fear, go ahead and kill me. I'm not doing it. He says, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. Well, he's letting you know sometimes we honor George Washington, Martin Luther King, Gandhi. We pick these people, temporary people who have died, and give them more honor than the one, Christ. Am I right? There are people that died for my right to vote. And people who died for my, there's a person who died for you to live. We totally get rid of him for a temporary reason. He says, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Because all those other names I just named, oh, they were all corrupt. There might have been a cause in there, and there may have been some nobleness in there. But overall, it's still temporary. Y'all get this? Please get that. Because your whole focus should change on, I'm living for Christ. I'm not an American. I'm a Christian that lives in America. I'm not black. I'm a Christian that happens to have blackness. Right? All right? I understand that this doesn't define me. I'm a Christian, and I'm doing exactly what my Father tells me. Okay? Our responsibility to the world is to point towards God, okay? So it should be that focus of when they see us. Now, there's two things of why he leaves us here after we're saved. First of all, Matthew 5, 13 through 16 says, you are, everybody say are, the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Now, two things salt does, it preserves. In other words, because of the elect, if you've read in Matthew 23, he'll keep saying, because of the elect, that's the reason why the world is to exist. Because of Christians, we are extending the time, giving people a chance to get saved. That's what that means. So we are a preservative. If you didn't have the preservative and half the food we have, it would spoil. They'd be done with. So we are preserved. So be the preservative. But he said, if we lose our preservativeness, our saltiness, but we also add flavor. There's a flavor to add to God to get them that interest. So that's the first thing. We have to be salty in a godly way, okay? He's saying, but if you lose your salt, it's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. So in other words, if I am a Christian who's not the salt, I'm worthless. Secondly, you are, everybody say are, the light of the world. Now watch what he says here. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp but put it under a bowl. How many of you light your lamp and then cover it with something to turn light? I mean, that's stupid, isn't it? He's saying, why are you doing it? He says, instead, they put it on the stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. So in other words, there's a purpose why you turn on the light. It's not for your wife to go turn it off, telling you better save electricity. That's one other thing. All right. But it's saying, no, you turn on the light to give light. You understand that? It says, in the same way, let. Y'all catch that first word? Let. Now, here's where we blow it. We're Christians. My life doesn't show it. I'm not letting. Still have the same attitude. You still gonna get me mad same way. I'm still living for my own pleasures. I'm still doing my own thing. I don't want to get involved. I'm still mad at you the same way. Still treating you the same. I'm not letting. That's why he says, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds. So, and good deeds is referencing your life. Not just the little actions you do outside, when they see your good life and praise your Father in heaven. Do you see how that works? They're going to watch me go through the same thing they're going through, but my reaction's going to be different. And they're going to go, wait, where'd that come from? Praise God. They're going to see me react with my kids in a much different way. Wait, what made you do that? Praise God. They're going to see how I am with somebody that treated me bad and show a love that makes no sense. And they're going to go, praise God. Because somebody did that to me, man. I would have. Y'all catch this? But when I'm reacting the same way they are, click, I turned off the light. I did not let. He's not impressed with you just having the light. You're expected to let your light. Y'all hear me? Amen. Can I stress that anymore? This is what he put us here for. Now, despite our place in life and situation, we must live for God. So it shows our lives our lives are to be lived for God, through God, depending on God. All right, Colossians 1:9-13 breaks this down for us. It says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So you see this prayer, it isn't just, hey, that you may be comfortable and everything goes well and all this other stuff. There's one verse that kind of says that, and that's only the prosperity ones, you know, that you prosper in every form. There's I think it's in Thessalonians, and they love to say that one. But it comes to this one, where it's saying, no, I need you to have the spiritual understanding of what you're in so that you may live that way. Okay, it says in 10, and we pray this in order that you may, watch this, live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way. Are we doing that? That's the first thing, living the life for the Lord. That we're doing it for him, to please him. I'm living that he may say, well done. Watch this, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. This is what you want to see happening in your life. Not how much money I made, how comfortable I am, how happy I am. No, none of that stuff. All that stuff is secondary. If it happens, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't, because I'm here for him. It's saying being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Why do you say that? Because some of us are strengthened, but it's not based on God. You got the wrong strength. You got a fleshly or a mental strength, right? It's not based on that. No, I want a glory according, or a strength according to his glorious might. So he wants all this for a purpose. What? You may have great endurance and patience. Why are we struggling? Because we didn't do this first part. We lived for other things other than him. If I would raise my child just to live for Christ, everything else would fall into place the way it's supposed to. But I trained my child to be successful, have a family, be happy. You gotta buy this, you gotta have that. Are you doing good? I taught them how to live for self. That hurts, because it's wrong. And we're still doing it. And they don't get to the so that. I'm not getting to the so that. so that I don't have great endurance and patience. So life hits me and I'm frustrated. I want to quit. I do things differently. Why? Because I'm tired. You ever Christians? I'm tired of being this one. I'm tired of being the nice person. I'm tired. Why? Because you didn't do the first part. Your purpose was not Christ. So of course you're tired. Do y'all get it? He's saying, so that we may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. That's powerful. It's a huge responsibility that he's given to us. All I had to do was change my purpose. And I have to do it today. And it comes down to this where I think we take for granted, 1 Peter 1:16, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. Holiness is living 100% like him. And see that you are godly, be godly. Stop just giving remnants of me. Holiness is always holy. Go back to the Old Testament. They couldn't use the temple for anything else. Somebody couldn't come there from one of the other towns and say, hey, we want a demon worship. Can we go into your temple and use it? Oh yeah, man, for the right fee. Do y'all get where I'm going with this? Okay, it was sacred. We're supposed to be sacred. Live your life sacred. Stop sharing it with you. Just about done. We must live for God using focused examples. Okay, so this we're going to read through this and then we're going to break it down. That's how we're going to close. 2 Timothy 2:3-7. This one does a good job because it gives us three examples, and I'll explain these examples here. Okay, in the ending here. So 2 Timothy 2:3-7 says, endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. So remember in the beginning, I said it's like we went to the armed forces and you're going to serve. So I don't care where they send you, you just went to serve. Okay? He's like, so like a good, he says, no one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. So if I'm doing what Christ tells me, I'm not getting caught up in the worldly things. Y'all hear me, political people? Who are allowing these political things to pull you away from godly things. Hopefully you're all getting this. Cut it out. He says he wants to please his commanding officer. No, that's not our president. No, that's not our government. No, he's talking about Christ. I better say everything that I'm voting or doing, is it in his hands? Am I doing exactly what he tells me? It's funny because there was a soldier. And I seen back during a time where he had to stand firm and there was a riot. And he said, I fully understood what the people were rioting for. He was like, but my job was to not allow them to get to this spot. And he said, I stood firm because that's what I was ordered to do. Now think about that picture. You're sitting there and you fully understand and you want to fight with them, but I can't do it because my job is to do what my commander told me to do. Even more so, that's what we're supposed to be doing as Christians. Similarly, he says, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. That's another spot. We're going to talk about that. And the hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Now, that one gets confusing. I'll explain that. He says, reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight on all this. So I'm going to help you. Watch this. First of all, that like a soldier, live to please our commander Jesus. So everything you're doing, even during political seasons, can you clearly, using 100% God's word, say, I did it because your word said. If you can't, you better change things, and you better change things quickly. Do y'all get this? In fact, when this season comes around, this is an excellent time for us to display Christ and not a political party. Cut it out. So live like a soldier. I'm doing exactly what my father tells me. I got that? Like competing, we only live by his rules. There are some that are adding to your life or taking away from your life, thinking God doesn't care. How many of you think about it? Think of the little things you're not doing, thinking you're going to get credit for the other things you are doing. So if I ran a race and I did one thing wrong, I'm disqualified. Did y'all get that? They don't go, well, he meant well. He didn't mean to do this other. No. The rules are he has to stay in between the lines. What if he tripped over a rock and went over another line? Nope, disqualification. That's unfair. No, that's the rules. The Bible gives us our rules. Why are you changing them? Y'all get that? Here's the other one. Now, like the hard-working farmer, we diligently live for his rewards. That's what that means. So in other words, I live hard-working. I don't become a Christian and go sit somewhere. It means my life is for a purpose. Live for that purpose. I don't, and there's nothing wrong. Some people go, well, as long as I make it to heaven, I really don't need the rewards. Like I said before, no, he put the rewards out there for you to go, yeah, I want them all. Because he told me. So I'm going to work hard. You heard Paul even say, no, I beat my body to make it my slave. So then in the end, after I preach to others, I'm not disqualified. Y'all remember that? So we live our lives the same way. Yeah, I'm doing this for rewards of God. Because I'm still doing it for God. Does everybody get that? I'm still living for him, like a soldier, competing by the rules, hard working. We're going to stop there. Now, we got the answer. So God willing, next week, what we're hoping to do, we're going to go over, so let everybody know, make sure you have your Bible. You should have your Bibles anyway. But next week, we're going to read a section of Ecclesiastes to kind of set that up. So letting y'all know ahead of time, okay? And then after we read that, we'll finish it up. And then, of course, we do our end review. But we got to go over this part of Ecclesiastes because it kind of sets the stage for Ecclesiastes. And it kind of sets this for the end of this thing of life. And it hopefully set the final foundation for us to understand how and where we need to be when it comes to life. Amen? All right. Let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, once again, thank you, dear Lord, for the opportunity to come and receive your word, to grow in you, to seek you in all things. Help us, dear God, to continue to learn from what your word is showing us, to do what your word is telling us, dear Lord. We ask you to help us look out for one another in the right way, encouraging, using your word, being led by your spirit, not by our own feelings, dear God, not by how we see it, but doing what you say. Continual blessings on those who are healing and just what they're going through. And even in their life, help them to be able to receive that they are to be a light, even in these struggling times. That includes Sister Paula and Sister Nancy and Sister Navia, dear Lord, and their families as well. We continue to pray for them and encourage them, dear Lord. But let us encourage them that in this time, their light to shine, for them to be strengthened and encouraged, not discouraged due to their condition. Help us who even may be in a comfortable position, not to get too comfortable, but to realize we are required to do what you would have us to do. Let us be used by you. Let us not lose our saltiness or hide our light. As we leave out of here today, dear Lord, let us live with the purpose of you, always focusing on you, living for you, encouraging one another, and bringing others to you. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We all say, amen. Thank you all.